Freya's Folly by Don Bone. Freya's Folly is a set collection and pick-up and deliver game for 3 to 5 players that plays in about 60 minutes or so. The idea here is that each player controls a number of dwarves, depending on how many players there are. As you know, dwarves do two things well. They go to mines and dig up gems, and they craft those gems into fine jewelry. And as you'd expect, the finer the jewelry crafted, the more prestige that the clan earns, and the more points you get. The complication in this game is that the goddess Freya has it in her head to create an enchanted necklace called the Brisingamen. To do that, she has 7 gold settings that will require amber. And these are competing with the usual jewels for your dwarf's attention. The game will end when either 4 pieces of the Brisingamen have been completed, or when one player has used all of his dwarves to craft 1 jewel apiece. And whoever has the most prestige at the end will win the game. So let's first take a look at the components. The board shows a map of the mines. The mine is lit by lanterns, and the lanterns are actually the spots that mark where your dwarves will move. They will be hopping around the mine from lantern to lantern. Each of the caves shows a combination of some number and type of gems that you will be setting up randomly at the beginning of the game. The gems are represented by cubes. There are 5 colors of cubes representing rubies, emeralds, sapphires, amethysts, and amber, and they come in small and large sizes. The other wooden bits in the game represent your dwarves. These are the discs that are two-sided, one side showing just a number, and the other side showing a number and pictures of a bunch of gems. There are also small wooden cylinders, which are the ability markers, representing various abilities you will be giving your dwarves temporarily later on in the game. There are 3 kinds of cards in the game. 15 of them are ability cards, which correspond with these tokens. There are 7 Brisingamen cards, which are the gold settings cards with amber. And then there are 38 setting cards shown with silver settings and various combinations of the ruby, emerald, sapphire, and amethyst gems. And finally, there are 5 player mats, which show a summary of all the actions you can take each turn, as well as pictures of wheelbarrows corresponding to each dwarf to show which gems they are individually carrying. To set up the game, each player chooses one of the player mats and takes the appropriate number of dwarves of that color, depending on the number of players who are playing in the game. For 3, 4, or 5 players, you get 6, 5, or 4 dwarves. To set the board up, you separate the yellow cubes, the amber, and mix up all the rest in a bag. For each of the caves in the mine, you place the appropriate number and size and color of cubes that are indicated, where gray cubes are drawn at random from the bag, and yellow cubes are drawn from your pool of amber gems. All the leftover gems will form the black market, which is placed up in the upper right corner of the board. The last thing to set up is the cards. Take the setting cards and shuffle those and deal out 8 face up. Those become the jeweler's workshop. Shuffle the ability cards, put 3 face up in the black market, and 6 face down. And shuffle the Brisingamen cards and just put 1 face up. Then you take the leftover Brisingamen cards and the leftover ability cards and shuffle those into the top half of the setting cards deck. And finally, set the setting cards deck aside as a draw pile for the jeweler's workshop. So just pick a random starting player and you are ready to start. On their turn, a player can take 2 actions. Their choices include moving a dwarf, taking a setting card, completing a setting card or a Brisingamen card, trading jewels on the black market, taking an ability from the black market, and finally using a thief card. These choices are also summarized at the bottom of each player's player mat. You can take the same action twice, except for the choosing an ability card from the black market action, which a player can only take once on their turn. Choosing an ability card is simple. You just take one of the face-up cards on the market, and if there is still a draw deck there, then you replace it with another card. The player also gets the corresponding ability marker. It's the little wooden bit that matches the picture shown on the card. To take a setting card, you also simply take one of the 8 face-up cards and play it in front of you face-up in your play area. Then you replace that card with the top card from the draw deck. If it happens to be a Brisingamen card, then that goes in the Brisingamen area. If it's an ability card, then it goes into the black market in the ability card area. If there are already 3 face-up cards there, then it instead goes face down at the bottom of the black market deck. Most of the time, the action that players will be choosing will be the Move a Dwarf action. Before the dwarf enters the mine, a player may choose to have it drink a potion. Those ability cards generally represent potions that will modify the abilities of the dwarf while they're in that mine. If you choose to do so, then you discard that card, it's removed from the game, put the ability marker on the dwarf token, and then enter the mine. The dwarves will enter the mine with the plane side up on their disc, that's the side with just the number on it. And as I said, they will go to the first empty lantern spot in any direction. They can move over to other dwarves, either their own teams or other players' teams. Movement of dwarves who are already in the mine occurs the same way. You just spend your action to move a dwarf to the next empty lantern space, as long as they're not jumping over more than 2 other dwarves. Some of the potions will modify this. As I said, there is a speed potion that allows a dwarf to use a single action to move twice, and there's a stealth potion that allows him to jump up to 4 dwarves instead of 2. On the other hand, there's also a strength potion, which someone else may have drunk, which allows a player to stop another dwarf from jumping over their dwarf token. If your dwarf moves into a cavern with gems in it, then you can choose to have him pick up those gems. He loads all of them into his wheelbarrow. You just pick them up and put them on your playmat in the appropriate area, and then you flip the token over so that the jewel side is showing, and that indicates that the dwarf has already picked up his load. A dwarf can only pick up 1 load, and once he's picked it up, he cannot discard it until he makes it all the way out of the cavern and brings it back to you. The one exception is if you have given that dwarf the stamina potion, then that dwarf can visit and collect gems from 2 caverns. So to summarize, movement is sort of a hopscotch affair, kind of the opposite of Cartagena, where you are jumping over other dwarves to move forward and trying to string along chains of dwarves so that you can make the most efficient moves, trying to run them down into the mine to the gems, pick up the gems, and then bring them back out of the mine back to you. The reason you want these gems is, of course, to complete the setting cards and the Brisingamen cards. To complete a setting card, you need to have a dwarf that's free, that is, that's not in the mine, and you also need to have the correct color and combination of cubes, of gems, that you've brought back up out of the mine. In order to complete a setting card, you had to have chosen it as an action before and have it in your play area. To complete the setting, you simply set aside the dwarf and the appropriate combination of gems. If a player uses all their dwarves, that will signal the end of the game. That player will finish out their turn like normal, and then the game will end and you will figure out final scoring. To complete a Brisingamen card, you do not need to collect the card separately. That card stays out on the board until someone finishes it. Again, they need to have a dwarf out, and they need to have the appropriate combination of amber gems, the yellow cubes. If a player builds the 4th setting of the Brisingamen, that will also trigger the end of the game. That player finishes their turn like normal, although they may not complete another Brisingamen setting. When they complete a Brisingamen card, they receive a number of free action tokens, which are shown on the card. Up to 3 of these action tokens can be used at the end of your turn to give you an extra action per token. If they're not used, then they're worth victory points at the end of the game, either 6 or 3, depending on how the game ends. I'll summarize scoring in just a few minutes. The last couple of actions to talk about are the market action and the thief card. The trading jewels action allows the player to trade up to 2 of their jewels that they have successfully taken out from the mine with the black market. A large cube is worth 2 small cubes. So, for example, a player could trade 2 small for 1 large, or 2 large for 4 small, or any combination of those. And finally, the thief action, using the thief card, allows you to steal 1 large or 2 small cubes from another player. You have to have a dwarf that's not in the mine, and you can only steal from gems that the other player has already brought out of the mine and that they haven't used in a setting. You can also steal from the black market. And finally, one more card to talk about, that is the bat ability card. When you send a dwarf into the mine, you can give them the bat, which is the little black token. If that dwarf enters a cavern, they cannot collect the jewels. However, they can send the bat back home with 1 or 2 gems of any size, and they immediately go into your area available to make jewelry. So that's it. Again, the last turn happens when a player builds the fourth Persignment setting or uses their last dwarf to build a regular setting. They finish their turn like normal. They can use their 3 free action tokens like normal if they want, and then they calculate final scores. So the trigger at the end of the game gets a 6-point bonus, and everybody gets points based on the gems that they have collected but not used in a setting. 1 point per small gem and 2 points per large gem. The gems left on your player mat and your wheelbarrows are worthless. Looking at the setting cards, if you have completed the setting card, you get the positive points. If you have not completed them, then you lose those points, which are shown as a negative value and are half of the completed value. If the four Persignment cards are what triggered the end of the game, then each of the free action tokens is worth 6 points. Otherwise, they are only worth 3 points. Whoever has the most points wins the game. And that is Freya's Folly. It is a nice set collection pickup and delivery game, as I mentioned earlier. It plays pretty quickly. It is a perfect information game in that everything is out in the public, the settings that someone has collected, the jewels that they're working towards, the gems that they're working towards, etc. People prone to analysis paralysis, this might not be the best game for them. But generally, you can play it pretty quickly, and the ending can sometimes sneak up on you when someone suddenly collects a few free action tokens and then spends them to quickly use up their last dwarves or finish up the last few Persignment sets. It's a nice twist that you have to optimize dwarf movement, you have to cooperate with other players to some extent, but of course, hopefully you'll get the better end of that deal. You need to dig deep into the mines to get the best combination of numbers and types of gems, but of course, the further in you go, the harder it is to get them back out so you can actually use them. And of course, once you use the gems to make a setting, you are one dwarf short, and it's harder to get more gems. So it's a nice game of optimizing and making things as efficient as possible. The rules are really pretty simple and straightforward to explain. The production is very nice. There were some errors in the production of the initial print run, but I believe that has now been fixed, and the company sent out corrections to everyone who had owned the original version of the game. So that's Freya's Folly. Nothing really earth-shattering about the game, but it's a pretty solid design, a nice, quick set collection, pickup and delivery game with some interesting twists.